Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, it is a joy to be yours. Watch over us and protect us and show us how we are to be faithful to you, how to love you, and how to love our neighbor. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible tells us we are in the world, but not of the world. The world can be a challenge. With so much going on around us, there is both pleasure and pain. Life can have a lot of challenges. There can be health issues, work issues, personal issues, and family issues. And one way or another, we get through it all. In life, we are in a battle. It is a spiritual battle taking place in our physical world. And what is at stake is our souls, the souls of men, our eternal destiny. And so, will our eternal destiny be in heaven or in hell? And will the eternity of our loved ones and our neighbors be in heaven or in hell? Share the gospel with others. It is the hope of eternity with Jesus in heaven. And there are some basic truths, like God is real and we can know and follow the truth of Jesus and be saved from hell. Well, that might be your starting point. After some initial thought, you can be thinking about the five pillar truths of Christianity. And they are: 1. The inerrancy of Scripture. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. 2. The deity of Jesus Christ, the miracle of his conception, birth, atoning death, resurrection, and his going up into heaven. 3. The triune nature of God, written in historic Christian doctrine, as one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with co-equal and co-eternal, and as separate and distinct persons, united as one God. 4. Salvation received solely through the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth on the cross. 5. Concerning eschatology. The definition of eschatology is relating to death, to judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and of humankind. Again, 5 is concerning eschatology, the literal physical return of Jesus Christ from heaven as Lord of Lords and King of Kings to establish his kingdom on earth. And that is the basic Christian doctrine. Now, if any of the churches you are attending does not agree with one of these pillars, try looking for a different church. If you want to hear those five pillars again, listen to this broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org. Lowercase, no spaces. And you'll see the KKXX and Christ Today with my name, John Stephenson, on the webpage. Click on June 8th, of course. And if you want to hear those five pillars, truths of Christianity again, they are important because you want to know biblical truth. And now, once you know that, you do what you can according to the Bible. And you do not want to be misled. Do you know how often the Bible tells us, do not be deceived? I think the Bible says those words about 10 times, and I think it expresses that idea maybe 50 times. So we do not want to be deceived, and we do not want to follow the wrong Jesus. We can read the Bible, and that gives us a pretty good idea about knowing the true Jesus. Read the Bible. And you know, there's so many cults in the world, thousands, there's plenty of them, and plenty that even claim that they follow Jesus. But if you read the profession of faith or the doctrine that just about every church or religious group has, you will see more clearly if that church is proclaiming Jesus or those principles, those pillars of faith. And you might want to read, so often online, just about every church has their doctrines for you to read online. And you could even read the what the church represents online of the church you're now attending. And hopefully you will not be surprised. But I know there's been a lot of times that I have read those proclamations, the professions of faith or doctrine of a specific church. I've looked them up. And you can. They're right online. But I've done that, and I have been surprised to read what they actually write. So you go to the church. It feels real lovely. They say good things you want to hear, and it even sounds right. But when you read their profession of faith or the doctrines that they follow, what they write on their website, for instance, you can get surprised. And like I said, I have been surprised to see what they actually write about. Sometimes it doesn't line up with sometimes what you hear in church, that church does not line up with their printed beliefs. But you have to be careful. You really do. You have to be careful to look and to make sure that you are on the right course. Read about the church. They give a whole lot of information about their beliefs and what they represent. Yeah, your own church, the one you're attending right now. And hopefully you will not have any surprises with what they have written. Yeah, but like I said, I've been surprised a lot at what is written and what the pastor says. And I'm not jumping to the next conclusion, which would be that the church is bad or wrong, or that church is a cult. I don't mean that's true. It's just that there can be tendencies that you might not want to be a part of. So don't be surprised by the doctrine, the written doctrine of the church, and don't be surprised by what a pastor says or doesn't say. Just check it out. You do not want to be deceived by nice words or things that are said that don't represent truth. There are lots of cults today in the world. Oh, very much locally, too. Webster's 1828 dictionary, it defines the cult. Oh, I'll just shorten it here. A cult is an unorthodox religion which has a great devotion to its leader or to an object. So that's the short definition. But beware, because there are thousands and thousands of people who belong to some sort of an odd religion, and they will be people you know even. They might be sons, daughters, or parents, or grandparents. You just have to be aware because, well, people are misled, and you want to believe the biblical point of view. Believe what the Bible is saying. And so to do that, you have to know what the Bible says. And to know what the Bible says, I sure hope you read it. Read it. If you listen to what people say, you get a certain interpretation. But if you read it yourself, you sure pretty well knows. And the Bible helps you understand so much. Like, it helps you understand your relationship with God, through Jesus Christ, and where you could spend eternity. And that's what's at stake. What's at stake is your eternal destiny. So it's a good investment of your time to read the Bible. Do you spend one day or one week or one year to read or to listen to the Bible, to learn it? And we have lots of people who want to tell you what the Bible says, but if you study it for yourself, then you will know about what the Bible says. So yes, study it for yourself. We're right about the time of Father's Day now, and you know, of course, that we have a Heavenly Father. That's God the Father. And we have an earthly father. And everyone does. It's good for everyone, mothers, fathers, children, everyone, to acknowledge the good that they have and the goodness that they have in God, through God, and with God. And a part of that acknowledgement is to acknowledge, oh, your parents. Acknowledge your dad. And you can do that on Father's Day or on another day. But it's good for children to remember their father. Oh, and it's good for fathers to remember the children. You know, so often that there are children that are just crying out for a little bit of attention. They cry out for their daddy. They want to feel his love. And dads, listen to your children's heart that are crying out. They're crying out, "Daddy, Daddy, please, I'm not asking for much. Just show me that you love me." Isn't that the heart of a child? Yes. And we all have failed. Men have. You, me, women, all of us, we've all failed to do our best. And so let us remember that each of us, oh, and children too, we all need forgiveness. We all need to receive forgiveness. And we all need to give forgiveness. We do have a God. We have a God and serve a God who loves us. Loves us patiently and perfectly, and we give God thanks too. Giving God thanks is a part of what we do. We acknowledge the good things, all the good that God has given to each of us, what God has given to you. We give God thanks. We give God thanks for all the things, including the plan of salvation, which God offers us. He offers us heaven. And you know that we all have choices. We can choose Christianity. And Christianity says that you are a special creation of God and that God loves you. Or you can choose the other worldview of evolution, which says you came from nothing and you will return to nothing. Which choice would you have? Well, you get the eternal results of your choice, and a part of that is heaven or hell. And if you decide not to make a choice, that is a choice all by itself. And so you can say, I don't know. Maybe later, God. We can talk later. I'll figure it out. And we do. We do. But or we continue with an unsure point of view. If that's what your position is, that you are unsure, you can always ask God to show you the truth. And that's what I said to God in the middle years of my life. I asked him to show me, and he did. And I had things that kept taking my attention, godly things, and it caused me to study. And I came to believe to where I am today. And of course, the Bible was a big part of it. But I needed to learn the history part of the Bible first. Anyway, read that book. Read it or listen to it on tape. It's a good book. So, God has a path to himself. It is with truth, and it is Bible truth, and it is Jesus. But God allows us to choose our own path. And then we get the consequences of our choice in this life and in the next life. Our choice has great impact on everything. Is that all we need to do is to choose? Well, sort of, yes. But the Bible does say we must be born again. That's in John chapter 3. Have a look at it. So, if you think differently, be prepared to consider that if God is God, whatever you think really doesn't matter, because God is true and God is right, and what he says is the only truth that matters. Because everything he says is true, and he's in charge of everything. So read that Bible, look at its context, with every verse in the context of its chapter, and every chapter in the context of its book, and every book in the context of the entire Bible. See, it takes a little bit to do, but it sure adds fullness to your life. I hope you do read that Bible. It gives you comfort and knowledge, and it helps you to get into heaven. And you don't need to perform any act to get into heaven. And I know that there's religions where you do have to do things to stay on the good list, the list of the faithful, but that's not what the Bible says. It does say you're to be born again, and I just said that in John chapter 2. So there's different scriptures that illustrate what you are to believe to get into heaven, let's say. And I hope you pray, and I hope you read to get understanding, the understanding that God would have you to have. Pray and read. Read the Bible and listen to it on tape if you want. Study it and know it and seek out the truth, God's truth. It is written and you have access to it. Examine these things for yourself. Now, it's surprising how many people have their own position. And for one reason or another, that's all they want to know. They don't want to look at anything else, and it's kind of sensible if you know what that true position is and you've looked around and seen things. You get to know that the Bible is true, and that's the position you want to take. So your salvation is for you to seek to understand and for you to pursue. It is your personal responsibility. It's your choice, too. Pursue that relationship with Jesus. It's not someone else's responsibility. It is yours. It's not the responsibility of the pastor or your parents or somebody you know, your spouse. No, it is your personal responsibility to seek God and understand His Word. And to develop that personal relationship with Jesus. Study it out for yourself. And you'll have to be careful what you hear and what you believe. Listening to me, be careful and search out the truth. Everybody that you hear, pay close attention to and make sure that it is lining up with the truth of the Bible. That's what you want to do. And study it. Ponder just those things of the Bible, the good and the bad. You see, our eternity is forever. Heaven or hell is forever. And no one would want to be in hell even for a short period of time. No, not at all. And if you realize how bad hell really is, then probably you're going to diligently pursue the Bible and seek salvation and your position in heaven. And that's what we do sometimes when we tell people about heaven and hell and what it's like, is we try to motivate anyone to pursue, to follow, to understand God, Jesus, and the Bible. And that's just how things seem to go. So there's so many things in life to be concerned about because we live in this world. In this world, but not of the world. Yes, we are right here, right in this world, right now. And a lot of things get our attention. We get concerns about so many things. Like, is the money failing? Is there a one-world economic system that is forming? Will there be a civil war? A war between the races? Or a war between religions? What about GMO foods? And glyphosate, that herbicide? Well, lots of concerns. Some people are concerned about health things, their own health, or if there's going to be a plague, or will there be a famine, or world war? Or do we look at more of the personal things that concern us? Like having enough money to get through another month, or whatever it is your dentist said, or if you have a medical condition. What part of your body hurts is another one. Maybe it's about what your child did or grandchildren did. So many things have a bearing on our life and their concerns. It might be some drugs. Maybe you never thought that there would be an illegal drug that would affect you or someone right in your life. But guess what? Something happened, and now an illegal drug is affecting your life. Or how about relationships? A relationship you thought was solid just had another problem? Well, these kind of lists and problems can go on and on. There are problems of every sort. In normal life, it might be government, it might be public schools, it might be churches. There's lots of problems. And so it helps to look at the love of God and to teach God's principles as they are put forth in the Bible. We get familiar with them, and they give us hope. Hope. There's quite a lot to be concerned about. It surely does not stop with those problems I just mentioned. Oh, I know I'm concerned about a lot, but it's a concern. It is not a worry, and I'm not troubled about things. So don't be worried, don't be troubled, but you can have concerns. There's a lot of things in life that are going on all around us, and they are concerns. We can handle them all too, because God put us here, right now. He put me here, you here, for a time such as this. And we all are a part of God's good plan. We can handle it. We can deal with it. Some people are concerned about the many things that confront us in life, from personal situations to national and international situations. And of course, there's always what we deal with good and evil. So there's lots of concerns. There are people who wonder if we are watching our nation die. With each passing day, is our nation dying or is it not? Well, either way, our main concern is in the hope of Jesus Christ. That's what to focus on. That is what to remember, think upon, and dwell upon, speak about. Oh, there's several Christian ministries on the radio or on the internet, and often enough, they talk about the problems in life, the problems that face our nation or our society or the Christian church. And then there's several Christian ministries that talk about the state of the world. And they tell you about the biblical reasons for why, well, maybe why, just maybe, why we are near the end of the age. And we don't know when that will really occur, but we can be pretty sure that it will be a real surprise when it really does occur. See, I think of Matthew 24:36, where Jesus is speaking and he says, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let's see, 36. Matthew 24:37, as the day of Noah were, so shall also be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so also the coming of the Son of Man shall be. Doesn't that indicate that it has to be so quick, so swift, such a surprise? Now, in this passage, Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man. And I think the big thing about that verse is we can see the suddenness of the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we can know the season, but we won't know the day and the hour. There's plenty of people who see that day approaching because they recognize the signs that we were given and that they are describing the season of Jesus' return as being now. That's reasonable. That is no surprise because we can look around and see the signs that were given. And yet we do not know when Jesus will return. We don't know the day nor the hour. But we can be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. For instance, what if Jesus returns in 100 hours? That's 4 days. What would you want to do to prepare for a holy life with Jesus? Now, I'm not trying to suggest that he would return in 100 hours. No, not at all. It could be 100 years from now. Even though we see the signs, it's not the same as knowing. Jesus' return could be very quick, or it could be much longer than we would even expect. So, just have a grasp that we really don't know when Jesus will return. 100 hours? 100 years? We really do not know. The thing is we want to be ready for whenever it is that Jesus, the Christ, does return. I know there's testimonies, and I've heard them. I think about them sometimes. And they will tell about their experience about being in heaven. And I gather that from what they talk about the experience of being in heaven is like, that if we really knew how wonderful and great heaven was, well, we just could not keep people alive on earth. It would be so wonderful. And then the opposite is true, that if we really knew how bad hell was, well, we surely wouldn't want to take any chances on going there. And we would warn everyone we could that they must have a relationship with Jesus so that they do not ever have to take any chance on going to hell. So what do? We repent of what God calls sin, and that's turning away from anything that he calls sin, that is sin. We walk away. We don't even consider looking at it again or touching it again. Not once, not ever again. We turn our back on it and walk away. You can have a concept of that where you actually visualize or write it down or something, what your sin is, put it down, and then take steps away from it. Literally, walk away. That's kind of an exercise that you can have to leave the sin that you might be involved with. Anything that is improper, according to the Bible. Put it down and walk away. And never, ever look at it again or touch it. Now, it might be really hard for some people to do this, but you must. You must separate yourself from sin, turn from sin, and pursue holiness. That's what we want to do. I would have to ask you, do we really want our sin so much that we would accept having that sin in our life and yet to be tortured in hell because of our sin? Now, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says something about being cast into the lake of fire and being tortured. And there's other passages also that speak in a like manner. I think of Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, which says about being cast into outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, look into this question, because we have information about what hell is like and what we need to do to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we go to heaven and not hell. Oh, pray for understanding. Pray to God for understanding as you read this or that and as you prepare to do God's will. At the beginning of today's broadcast, I spoke about us being in a spiritual battle. And that is so true. It's spiritual, but it takes place within the world. And the world is, of course, a physical, material place. I find it so essential to have a prayer life, a wonderful prayer life with God through Jesus Christ. Prayer is essential for that relationship and for our understanding. God gives us understanding when we ask. He gives us so much when we ask. And that is what we want to do. We want to seek God's understanding. And prayer is essential to seeing this clearly. A few minutes ago, I talked about fathers and family. And, you know, there's so many fathers in the world, but so many people who are not fathers. If you look at the problem in prisons, why do people go to prison? Well, there's been research done, and now the numbers do vary a lot, but it could be about 90% of the men in prison did not have a father in their home. Or when they did have a father in their home, their father was emotionally absent or was a weak male figure in the home. But mostly, there was no father, no male figure in the home. And so we want to do our part to be that good and loving father and pray for our children. There is a battle going on in our culture. A part of it is against the family, and a part of it is about violence too. Violence is brought into our culture in lots of ways. There was a James Dobson interview, and that was a few months back, and he talked about violence in our culture, how we, the people, so often say that we do not want violence in our culture, and yet our culture teaches violence, mostly to young men, but also to young women. There is so much violence. James Dobson, he said that there were three main factors that promote violence. One, we are overexposed to violence. Two, that we are desensitized to violence. And three, that we have rationalized the violence that there is, and we teach it in our military and now in our culture. And then, too often, violence and killings are justified. They're justified at the highest levels of government and at the lowest levels of society. So that's what James Dobson said about violence. Oh, and yes, that often we get accustomed to violence through video games. There's a lot of smart people, and they tell us things, but we still have to listen, and we still have to put it into practice within our life. And to understand and to have the ability to put that into practice, prayer helps a lot. Prayer is a big, big thing to remember. And it's important to keep ourselves and our home protected by being holy and by not having an interaction to violence. No interaction to violence. We want to have an interaction with holiness. Yes, that's what we want. Well, I heard James Dobson on the radio again, and just a few days ago, and he spoke about how our Democratic House Congress on May 27th of this year passed something called the Equality Act of 2019, and it passed by a vote of 236 to 173. Now, it's still not law. To become law, it would have to be passed by the Senate and signed by the President. And we can say that wouldn't happen. We can be pretty sure it wouldn't. But really, if you look back on laws that we were pretty sure wouldn't be passed, they still got passed. So we have to keep our prayer life to support the Christian freedom that we enjoy in this country. Oh, that Equality Act of 2019, it would support teaching every child the transgender option. And it would be taught to children as young as age 9. And it would allow cross genders to use whatever bathroom in school that they wanted. It would allow cross genders to shower in whatever shower they aligned themselves with, the girls' shower or the boys' shower. And there would be no exemptions, no opt-out possibilities, none for religious individuals or religious schools or institutions. Besides this, it wipes out any religious exemptions that have existed in the past. So, sure, we can't imagine such a thing happening, but how many times have we said that in the past? That we could not imagine that a law would pass, and yet it does. The bills get voted on, and they get put into law, and we were surprised. Well, don't be surprised. Instead, be prayerful, because it is a prayerful battle that we must be in, a spiritual battle. We must be on our knees prayerfully as we think about how many things, just in our prayer life, do we have the prayer life that we want? For instance, today, how many times have you prayed? How many times did you pray yesterday? How many times did you pray before that? We are in a battle, a spiritual battle, and prayer makes a difference. So, how many times did you pray is one question. Another question could be, how many minutes did you spend in prayer? How many minutes today? Or yesterday? Or the day before that? Well, we say we are Christian or Christ followers, and so I have to ask you, do we pray to Jesus? Do we express our concerns, our compassion, our faithfulness? We can pray for all sorts of things, about someone hurting or about an emergency vehicle that passes by us, a situation we see just as we're going past. Yes, all these things. Prayer is good. Besides all those issues I mentioned earlier, within our country, within our family, within our world, There is a whole lot of praying that we can do, and we ought. If you're not sure about what to pray about, pray to Jesus and ask him to show you, because God does respond. Jesus is God, and somehow, like I said, three individuals as one God. It's a mystery. We cannot know it, understand this, these concepts fully, but we understand pieces of it, parts of it, and we just do what we know and understand. Well, all these things are written about in the Bible, one way or another. Sometimes it's experiences that others will have, and sometimes it's just spoken plainly. The Bible tells so much, and it also shows the compassion that God has and we are to have for God and one another. Read the Bible. It's a good thing. We want to have habits that are pleasing to God and not the habits that are displeasing to God. See, habits are important, and they're the things that we don't want to do, or maybe don't want to spend too much money, or maybe we want to have something like a spending plan in place, or we want to have prayer, or we want to have compassion, and prayer is a good step towards that, and so is reading the Bible. Oh, there's so many things in life, so many things. When we look back and we can see the experiences that we have been through or that other people have gone through, and we get a pretty good idea of what to do or what not to do. I know I told this story before, but it was a while back. And so about 20 years ago, I heard, maybe 15, I heard this story told by an older man. He talked about his grandparents who lived through the Great Depression. And he said his grandparents borrowed $35 from the bank to buy seed and some basic tools for their farm. And then the Great Depression came. It hit them hard. And no one had any money to spend. So his grandparents could not pay their $35 loan, and they lost their farm to the bank. So the neighbors of his grandparents did not borrow any money. They did not have a loan, and they kept their farm through the Depression. Let me just say, $35 is not $35 in today's dollars. It would probably be $3,500, equivalent to what we would think of today. It's not just a ton of money, but it's not small either if you don't have it. So these are all concepts, and it talks about them all in the Bible. The borrower is servant to the lender. We get advice on how to live and if we should borrow money or not. No, we should save up. We should have savings. Don't borrow any money. And there was another story that I heard just last week, and that brought to mind this story I just told you. It was also about during the Great Depression, when nobody had any spare money. Well, this man's grandparents owned a beautiful oceanfront property, and their property tax became due, and there was not enough money anywhere, and they did not have enough money to pay the taxes. So they lost the property because they couldn't pay the taxes. So it's good to have savings for the emergency situation. Now, the Bible talks about money just plenty, quite a lot. And we want to be wise stewards, so and take care of the things here on earth that we're entrusted with. So what do? We learn, and we practice the things that we learn, and we read the Bible so we can learn more. You know, there's a whole lot of people in debt today. What would we do if we had a crisis and people couldn't pay their debts? Oh, it would be such a big, bad problem. We have grown accustomed to debt all over our society. Oh, all over the world even. And people don't hardly pay attention to the concerns of being in debt or having a huge personal or business debt. It just doesn't hardly even get thought about. It's so normal, but it's not right. And yet, we all seem to do it. We don't pay attention to the businesses around us, corporations that are greatly in debt. We don't pay attention to the cities around us, our communities, our state. They are all greatly in debt. And some of us will remember that our national debt is just so huge at $22 trillion. $22 trillion. There are so many people who say it is unpayable. We will never pay it back. It might be true. We might not. And then what would happen? Then ownership would change and a new economic system would be formed. It's a lot to think about. But these things do happen. They can happen. They have happened in the past. And there's plenty of economic people today who say that this will happen again and that there will be another Great Depression, and it would be bigger than the last one in the 1930s. It would be like a super Great Depression. And they also indicate that a recovery would be about impossible. These things no one knows. But I think it's only good to look and consider the possibilities, because smart people, they see these possibilities and they say, look out, watch out, something pretty bad could happen and you don't want to get caught up in it. So what do? You get out of debt and you have a little savings. That's what you want to do. The Bible talks about that too, and it gives you the principles for living. It talks about, I talked about this last week, the failure of money that was in Egypt, and how Genesis talked about that at the time of Joseph. But the thing is all sorts of surprises can happen, and we can be prepared for quite a few of them. We can have a few things available for the just in case, because emergencies really do happen. If we look at what happened in paradise, there was the campfire, and we know the campfire certainly happened. It sure did. And so everyone, after that, has a list of the things that they want to have prepared. Now, there were a few people who were aware of the paradise area having a fire, and they wanted to be prepared to go someplace else if there was a fire. And there were a few people who did that. They were all ready to go with their important papers and what they needed in their personal possession. They were so glad to hear the list. And everybody has a list. You can look them up online. You can get my list. Or you can just think about the things to have. The personal things. Identification. water and or water purifier and food, maybe some money or silver coins, a backpack, sleeping bag, and a sheath knife, a knife sharpener, flashlights and batteries, a small radio and first aid kit, some tools, personal hygiene, dental care, sewing kit, all these things people want to have. A walking stick, perhaps, if you have a baby or a pet, their needs, paper towels, and I already said water and food, but those are so important for you and your pet and your baby too. So remember that there's a few things that would make any thing that you had to do to leave so much easier. And just have them ready. Have your bug out bag ready with your medicines. Just put some thought into it. And remember your relationship with God, with and through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So have a Bible. Have a hymnal. Hymnals are really good if you need to have a little joy and happiness, because songs and singing help with that, especially Christian songs. So maybe you'll have a few items. Of course, there will be different items for everybody, but that's your job, to think and to have a plan and then to do it. We all want to have some level of preparedness, and we do that with how we live life. It can be preparing for an emergency with savings or with a first aid kit or with insurance. We all have insurance, don't we? On our cars or our house or something. So just give it some thought, make a plan, and then do something. So if you want to hear this broadcast or another Christ Today broadcast again, go to www.christtoday.org. That is lowercase and with no spaces. And you can always get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Thank you for listening today, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.